The snow this weekend reminded me of an experience that occurred in my life a number of years ago. In fact, it was over 30 years ago. I found myself on a ski lift, riding up a lift with a young man that was a friend of mine, but I didn't know him well. And we got on the lift, and as we got on the lift, he looked at me and said, "Can I talk to you about something really, really important?" And he began to tell his story. And his story was laced with choices that were centered in disobedience. His story was connected to life experiences that had caused him to miss the best of life. And as we're going up that lift, I remember thinking, the only choice he has is to learn to obey. And so as we were going up the lift, I said to him, "I want to ask you a question. What would happen if you simply woke up, and as you woke up, you stood up, and as you stood up, you began to step forward and experience what God intended? What would happen if you simply obeyed?" And he said to me, "I'm not sure." Well, last week he died, and he passed away. He had been through years and years and years of living a simple life of stepping up in obedience every single day. And as a result, his story read beautifully. And as I read his obituary and I read the story behind all that he had faced and all he'd been through, I've been gone from Arkansas a long time. But as I read his story, I was reminded of that ski lift and how precisely at times God says to us, the most important thing you can do is obey. And today we talk about the miracle of obedience. Because the truth of the matter is, at Christmas time, we see all these different people obeying. They're all obeying. Some are making a choice to leave the sheep and go and see Jesus. Some are making a choice to travel a long ways with a lot of expensive stuff to entrust it to someone they know has been literally the answer to what it is they're facing. For each person, they had to make a choice. Mary had to obey. Joseph had to obey. They all linked into an amazing story. And I want you to think about this. What happens when a person experiences the miracle of obedience? Because what you discover is oftentimes we think in our lives that our stories are linked to big miracles, big things. And I had a pastor friend who in the last 18 months or just under 2 years has had cancer 6 times and has faced the same type cancer 6 different occasions, 6 different surgeries. And last week he sent a note out saying, "Please pray for me. They think they've found cancer again." And it was interesting because I realized that here's a man who, even in the midst of all that battle, was continuing to stay obedient, continuing to stay faithful, continuing to stay committed. And what I want you to see today is this. As you obey, you begin to experience something that money could never buy. And as he found himself in the surgery room this week, he went in after six malignant cancers being removed. He went in for the 7th surgery, and reading his words this week, "I don't know how to praise God enough, because for the 7th time, on the 7th diagnosis, instead of malignancy, it's benign." And as I read his words, I began to think about what happens to each one of us. Is watch this carefully. The one malignancy that takes away God's purpose from our lives is disobedience. Because when we choose to disobey, it causes us to miss what it is that God intended for us. And the one thing that opens our hearts up to everything he intends to do through it is obedience. So we find ourselves today in Matthew chapter 2. Open your Bible to that text and by the way, be careful to realize something. Just because you're familiar with something doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention to it. Because oftentimes, things that are very familiar to us, watch this, are the very things that test our obedience. When we make an assumption, when we think that everything is okay, when we don't see the priority of his word in our lives, when we don't see the significance of his presence in our lives, when we don't hear him speaking to our heart, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves wavering at the point of what obedience can do in our lives. So in Matthew chapter 2, we find ourselves in an amazing part of the Jesus story of the miracle month that we look at. And I want us to begin reading in verse 13, and notice what it said. "Now when they had gone, other words, when the Magi had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and while it was night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all his vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because there were no more. But when Herod had died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came in the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee. And he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, when you read that story, you see all these interlinkings of very small acts of obedience that have profound consequence to everything you and I live for. Because what you see is when the angel appears to Joseph, he gives simple instructions. Get up. Get up. And can you imagine how startled he was, but also how amazed he was? And it's what's interesting, by the way, you don't see any aspect of Joseph's life where he says, well, you know what? Let's evaluate this. Let's take a little time here to process through this. Let's think through. Now, what are the consequences if we go to Egypt? I mean, we don't know anybody there. I mean, how are we going to hang out in a place that no one even knows us? What provisions are we going to make for all of our lives, for the baby? What are we going to do? And what I want you to think about today is, in your own life, when you think about your greatest miracle, do you recall it? Do you recall the greatest miracle of your life? Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to discover it. The greatest miracle of your entire life rested in the day that you said yes to Jesus, becoming the Lord and Savior of your life. The greatest miracle. And any other miracle that came your way, while they could have been consequential, listen, when he is in the middle of who you are, you get the privilege of being able to discover what obedience really is all about. And so today, as you think about that, when you start encountering God in miraculous ways, beginning with your salvation and living out that life that God intends for you, you start encountering him. And as you encounter him, when you encounter God in a miraculous way, it sets a tone for your entire life. And I want you to think about this. We know nothing about Joseph to speak of. But we do know this, which, by the way, will probably be the very things recorded about most of us. We know he obeyed. We know he did what he was asked to be done. He obeyed. I want you to think about this. What would you do if you were given instructions to get up, go somewhere you've never been, to make sure that what it is that's being protected is protected in a way that God intended, and the only instruction you get is, get up and stay there till I tell you to come back. I mean, can you imagine if someone said to you, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up. I want you to go to Helen, Georgia, and I want you to stay there until I tell you to come back. Well, you might be sitting there going, well, I don't know anybody in Helen, Georgia. Where am I going to stay? What am I going to do? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to make provision for me? And here's what you discover. When you overanalyze, you misunderstand what it is he ultimately wants to do. Because I'm going to tell you what's powerful about obedience. Obedience is never complicated. Obedience is being able to say, Lord, I want to encounter you in an amazing and powerful way. So I want you to imagine for a moment. As we looked at last week and began this series, which, by the way, we're going to look at different aspects of the miracle story of Christmas throughout this entire month. And it's my joy to be able to study and learn and glean insights from it. So I want you to think about what a miracle is. It's a surprise event. It's a moment that is welcomed into our lives because it is linked directly to God. So when our story becomes powerful, it's linked into something that is amazing and profound. It's interesting. My son-in-law was telling me that the three little granddaughters out playing in the snow, two of them had no problem with it, but the little one's like, I want nothing to do with this. I don't want to walk in it. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want anything to do. And so what she would do is she would reach up and make him carry her wherever they were going. And if my son-in-law, if Elliot had said, you know what, Adeline, learn to make it on your own, get out there in that snow, the reality is Adeline probably would have never made any progress. But what the difference was that when those arms reached up and that heart opened up, the father reached down and picked that child up. And I want you to see about this is what God does. When we obey and we reach up to him and say, Lord, speak to me, guide me, let me experience you. What does he do? He reaches down and grabs us and begins to bless our life. So I want to set the tone for this entire message. I want to show you three things, but I want before we do that, because I want you to think in your own mind, what are my opportunities to obey? What are the things that God intends to do through me that are my opportunities, all right? So I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to show you something that you will see because when you get in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, it's a story of what happens when Saul thinks he's being obedient and he's being absolutely disobedient, and the result of his disobedience causes him great consequence. And what I want you to see today is this. Sometimes in our lives, we think that there's not a direct link to our obedience to how our life unfolds. Sometimes we just think that, you know what, that's not a big deal. That's not an issue of consequence. And what I want you to see today is this. Every aspect of our lives that is linked to obedience is critical. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 15. And as you're looking there, I want you to look with me if you would. There's several verses that I'd like to point out to you, but let's just look at verse 14. 1 Samuel 15, verse 14, which, by the way, everything in the Old Testament sets in motion as understanding principles that would guide us through the New Testament. Verse 14, but Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, stop there and realize something. Here is partial obedience. Here is disobedience. Here is consequence, okay? And so he said, we say the very best thing so we can make it a great honor to you. Then Samuel said to Saul, wait, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak. Samuel said, it's not true. Though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then, notice this, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission which the Lord had sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Now, watch this. The leader says, oh, no, Samuel, you don't get what it is we just did. We just did a great thing. We just did an amazing thing. We took the very best that was there, and we brought it into the story. We set in motion the most beautiful sacrificial moment you'll ever have. And the reality is when you live that way, what happens to you? You begin to misunderstand what it is he has for you. And think about this today. What if what he wants to do in you is so centered in simple obedience that he says to you, for example, remove this part of your life. Don't focus on this part of who you are again. Set it aside. And when you set it aside, begin to experience what I intend for you, but take it out of your life and never put it back in. Don't let it become a part of your story again. Well, you can imagine that your first thought is, wait a minute, I've always had that. That's always been a part of who I am. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. All of a sudden, the wheels are falling off the bus for Saul. All of a sudden, he begins to face something he never dreamed he would. Because, watch this, in his own analysis, he concluded he knew how to sacrifice to God in a better way than God's intent himself. And so he said, we say the best thing, and instead of destroying him, we just wanted to honor you in a greater way. We just wanted to do it our way. And here's what I want you to see. At Christmas time, so important. Our way, God's way. Our way, God's way. God's way is the perfect path that leads us to an obedient life. And what happens, look on with me, because we begin to see what transpires. Verse 21, but the people took some of the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the choices of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice the Lord your God at Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the will of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, I want you to think in your mind for a moment. Samuel makes a statement that has the most consequential impact on all of our lives. Because he says this, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. And I can tell you, across our land and many other parts of the world, people will put gifts under trees that perhaps they sacrificed to put under that tree. But the reality is, they would have been much better off just simply choosing to obey and experience what God intended. Because watch this carefully. You may put a gift under the tree, but you may forget the real tree that matters. Because if you don't see the cross and what it is that you're trying to do, then you miss the essence of everything that God intended for your life. And so what happens is, Saul's life comes to a defining moment, and it's all linked to obedience and disobedience. So I want you to imagine for a moment, Joseph, back to Matthew chapter 2, Joseph, he is facing what is absolutely consequential for his life. Because, imagine this, we don't know any of the background to speak of related to Joseph, but here's what we do know. He had an obedient spirit, and he did what God told him to do. And I want you to imagine what would happen to all of us if we just had an obedient spirit, if we just did what he told us to do, and we didn't hesitate, we didn't say, Lord, let me analyze that a little bit more, if we didn't stop and make a careful analysis and say, you know what, I'd like to do that, but I can win. And what happened with Joseph is he didn't get any extra time frame to guide him. I mean, he had to act in obedience, on the spot, real time, no hesitation, no one sitting there beside him saying, man, you go for it, big boy. You got it, man. You got it happen. You've got the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine when he wakes up Mary and say, Mary, we're going to a place you've never been before? Now, maybe she was an adventurous spirit. Maybe she loved the idea of going to unknown places. And the reality is, she had a little baby. It wasn't safe and it wasn't easy to move quickly out of a world you knew into a world you didn't know at all. And what I want you to see today is this. What faith does, it takes us out of a world we know into a world we don't know, but is absolutely blessed by God. What would happen if all of us just chose to obey today? Just said, Lord, I'm going to obey you no matter what. I'm going to experience what you intend for me. And that's exactly what Joseph does. So I want to show you three very distinctive things about this encounter. Because in these short verses, we begin to see that one of the greatest gifts God ever gives us is the privilege to obey. I mean, think about this for a second. What would happen if all of us just simply said, Lord, you know what? Whatever it is you want to do in and through me, I choose to obey. I'll tell you what would happen. Our lives would be changed forever. Because what happens when he begins to speak to it, our lives get directed in paths we never thought we'd ever walk on. And we walk on those paths, we begin to experience his presence in a way we never dreamed we'd ever encounter. And as we encounter his presence, watch this, we get a peace that we never dreamed we would have. We get a joy that becomes unspeakable to us. We get to encounter everything that he intended for our lives. What would happen if we just obeyed? If we experienced the miracle of obedience? That's what Joseph does, and it is profound to say the least. So, there are three things that stand out. The first one is this. By the way, this is all linked to two words, get up. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know if you were a morning person growing up, but when I was a teenager, the idea of waking up early was not one of my favorite ideas, because I thought you should be able to sleep on. So I want to just poll our teenagers over here for a moment. How many of you in our student ministry, you wake up in the morning excited about life? All right. How many of you have never seen a good morning since you've been born? Thank you, Ansley. How many of you have no clue what I just asked you? I see. Thank you, Mitchell Keith. So the reality is most people don't wake up in the morning. Jack, you might whisper to all of them. Oh, Jack left. Where's Jack? Tell him to come back quick. All right, so no wonder they can't hear. The student pastor left. Had a birthday, got a year older, and you're missing out. So what happens, though, is it's in that distinctive moment that you are sound asleep, and someone says to you two powerful words, get up. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a teenager, those were the most hated words of the entire night. Because have you ever fallen asleep and you wake up and the whole night's over and it seems like it was just for 5 minutes? I mean, you wake up, you mean it's all over already? I mean, it's gone? And by the way, just to comfort all of you who are young, when you get older, you can't sleep late. So rejoice while you still have that privilege, you know. For some of us, we're going to wake up at the same time no matter what. Don't even need an alarm. But what happens in our lives is we go through this experience, and I can never forget this. My father was more a disciplinarian than my mother, and so if my mother said it, I never gave much thought to it because it's not that big a deal. She's not going to get that uptight about it. She's not going to get that upset about it. And so she'd say, get up, and I'll be up in a minute and go back sound asleep. But my father was not the gracious, kind person that I am, for example. He would bring cold water. He would give you one get-up warning. Get up, you're going to be late for school. And the next thing you knew was cold water in your face. All right? So I want to ask you a question. When my dad said get up, did I get up?
Yes.
Yes, because there was a consequence to it. If my mom said it, I ignored it most of the time. And here's what I want you to see. Sometimes in life, we just need a splash of cold water in our face to remind us that He wants us to live obedient no matter what. And when we do, it awakens us completely. Which, by the way, if you ever have cold water in your face, it does awaken you quickly. And I'm going to tell you what Joseph had. Joseph got some cold water from an angel who said, get up. So the first thing I want you to see is he says, get up and take the child to Egypt. In other words, he didn't just say, get up and go yourself. You get up, take Jesus with you, take the mother, take Mary with you, you go to Egypt. And it's interesting because he makes this statement, remain there until I tell you. Which by the way, when you look at that, the wisdom to wait is one of the greatest challenges of our lives. When God says to us, this is what I want you to do, and having the wisdom, say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Having that wisdom to wait, I mean, you got to imagine for a moment. Don't you know that Joseph, by the way, gifted probably as a carpenter, etc. Joseph probably sat there thinking, wonder how long this will be. Wonder how long this will take. I wonder what it's going to be like. But he had the wisdom, no matter all of his, out of all of his questions, he had the wisdom to wait on God. I want to ask you, what would happen if you had that same wisdom? If he had something for you, he said, I want you to go do this, and I want you to wait on me, and I'll tell you your next step. Because when you look at Hebrews 11, you realize something. It is not what you see. It is beyond what you see that guides you to what you ultimately will see. That's what faith does. Faith takes you beyond what you see. And so imagine that, first of all, you don't have the wisdom to wait. But look on. He said, not only that, remain there until I tell you. But the Bible says, while it was still night. And when you think about this, his spontaneous action was linked to obedience. In other words, he knew, why wait till tomorrow? Let's get this moving. Let's get headed out. Let's experience what God intended. I want to ask you, how spontaneous are you when God tells you something to do? When he gives you clear instruction. and you spontaneously go, well, you know what, Lord, I'll do that no matter what. I'll move forward, whatever you want, whatever the cost, I'm committed. And what happens, our spontaneous, I want you to see this for a moment. When you and I, you and I link our lives to obeying him in the moment, what happens? We begin to experience everything he wanted for us. And so spontaneously, it opens up Joseph's mind and heart to doing what God intended. And what you and I see is, when I learn how to wait and I learn how to act, I begin to experience more of what he wants for my life. But it's the third thing I want you to see, because it doesn't just stop there. He makes it very clear that there were some things going to be fulfilled. In verse 15, this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to get in your mind. Prophetically, which, by the way, in these few short verses, there are several different prophecies that are all fulfilled linked to Jesus' birth and Jesus' arrival. And what happens, though, is all of a sudden, they hear this word, fulfillment, to be fulfilled. In other words, and what was this all about? God has a perfect plan, and his perfect plan is laid out for us so that this perfect plan laid out by God is there for us to go, you know what? I don't have to trust my own instinct. And I'm sure, and I've told you this many times, sometimes when I'm driving my car or even when I have my phone and I let the person tell me where to go, I don't always trust their voice, because they'll tell me something like, turn, especially where I live, by the way, because where I live, they will tell you to get on Peachtree Industrial to ultimately get to Holcomb Bridge, when in reality, if you go across Spalding, you end up at Holcomb Bridge, and you're not fighting all that traffic. And so one day I got in my car, and I put in there where I needed to go, and the lady said, okay, now, go left out of your neighborhood. Well, I went right. And, you know, I know if they really had a chance to speak to, they'd probably say, where do you think you're going? I mean, why did you take a right when you're supposed to go left? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. That's exactly what happens in our lives. We get given very clear instruction, but we sometimes go right when we're supposed to go left. We go backwards when we're supposed to go forward. What would happen if all of us said, you know what, I am going to get up and do exactly what God said? I'll tell you what happened. We would have much more beautiful lives. We'd have much greater joy. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. You want to take a miracle story to the hearts of your children and your grandchildren, teach them this principle. To obey is better than sacrifice. Because when you teach them that, they learn what obedience is all about, because obedience is all about us acting on his commands for our lives. Second thing you see, though, because Herod, by the way, Herod was not a good guy. And he obviously shows that. And the way he shows it is the Bible says that he became, in verse 16, then when Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged. And what I want you to see today is this. The rage of disobedience set in motion what would ultimately happen to Herod, but also what would make protection for Jesus. And yet, in the midst of all this, Herod gets enraged. And that word there has to do with being out of control and who you're supposed to be. You ever know anybody that gets enraged? I mean, by the way, I've seen it, people just driving their cars. I mean, you see it everywhere. Because what happens is something, watch it. If you don't have something guiding you towards obedience, all you have inside is your flesh guiding you toward disobedience. And disobedience becomes something that enrages you. In other words, it's the end product of your anger when you all of a sudden you go, man, I'm so angry, I'm so upset, I'm so mad. And what I've learned, by the way, is that everyone, every place he wants to fine-tune you at the point of your disobedience, he will give you the opportunity to obey. You just have to make the right choice. All right? And so Herod's enraged. And what I want you to see today, here's the principle. Every act of obedience will be challenged by the world. When you choose to live for him, every act of obedience, everything you do that you know is consequential, which, by the way, the secret of your heart is obedience. Because when you learn how to obey no matter what, that secret unfolds. And people begin to see that. And when I think about the legacy we all leave, listen carefully. The greatest legacy we leave anybody in life is that we chose to obey. Because when they see that, they will follow that. They'll realize that's the way to go. That's the path to take. That's the step we should step into. Imagine what would happen if all of a sudden you began to look at what makes you angry. Because Herod was so angry, and all of a sudden you said, Lord, no, I want the right path. And what I want you to see by way of principle, if every act is challenged, It's challenged for a reason, for us to understand why we obey. Because we obey knowing that when we obey, God has something more in store for us. What would happen if all of us obeyed? God would use us in an even more profound way. So, watch this. Here's how it all unfolds. First thing that happens is they get a chance to obey very clearly, get up and go to Egypt. All right? And according to history and all, it's not like it was a lot, long time. But obviously, one thing happened. The consequence of Herod's disobedience cost him a gruesome death. All right? So let's look at the third thing. The third thing I want you to see today as you think about your own life. In verse 19, notice what happened. But when Herod had died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So the angel shows up. And verse 20, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Now, imagine for a moment that you hear this news and you're like, wow. I mean, which by the way, history says that Herod even killed his own kids who would get in the way of him being glorified in himself, in his flesh. And history also records that what killed him was so morbid and so overwhelming that he suffered the consequence of taking the lives of all those children. And as a result, you see that God, I mean, what do we learn here? God reckons with all disobedience. I mean, he reckons with it. And obviously, Herod had no game plan that came from God. Herod had his own plan. Herod had his own way. But what you discover is God reckons with all disobedience. He works in our lives to deal with those things and awaken us to, you know what, I don't want to live like that anymore. I mean, you see, my friend who got on that ski lift 30 years ago, when we skied off that lift, he chose to begin to live a life of obedience. And even, watch this, even 2 years ago when he fell out of a deer stand and broke his back, he kept obeying. He kept believing. He kept trusting. And what I want you to see today is this. If you fall out of something, it wasn't a consequence of disobedience. It just happened to be a thing he faced in life. And what I want you to get in your mind is this. What is of consequence is the reality that we sometimes encounter things where God says to us, make the choice and make the right one. Herod made the wrong choice, and it cost him more than he could ever calculate. Look on, though, in verse 19. But he said that the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Get up, take the child and his mother, go in the land of Egypt. Those who sought the child alive or dead. And Joseph got up. Watch this, verse 21. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came in the land of Israel. You see, God was directing every step that he would take. And here's what I want you to see. If you are in tune to him, he will direct every step that you take. He will direct every step. Even Friday night, I needed to make a phone call to talk to one of our members about something late at night. And sent a text message to him asking, hey, could I ask you a couple questions? And after I realized how late it was, I thought, man, I probably shouldn't have done that. And it was interesting, the spirit of one of our members' response to all that. I'm just happy to be of help in any way that I can. And as I read that, and that's not the exact words he said, but that's the essence of what he was getting across. And as I read that, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we just chose to have the same spirit? Lord, I'm just happy to do whatever it is that I can do to help. Wouldn't you love to live like that every day? You see, today, as you think about your own life, Joseph, God directed his steps to go back to Israel now. I want you to think about this. Can you imagine how happy he was? How happy he was to get to be back with those he loved, those he knew, his family, his vocation, his world. He got put back into a world that he never dreamed he would get to experience again because he didn't know how long he'd be there. And what I want you to see today is this. You may be in a part of your journey you don't understand completely, but you can understand the one who orders the steps of your life. He's guiding you towards experiencing what he intended for your life. And so today, as you imagine that, there's one final thing I want you to see, because all of a sudden, all these warnings, look at verse 22, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. You see, God warned Joseph in a dream to open his heart up to realize even though you're going back to the place you know the best, go to the right place while you're there. Do not go this direction. Go into Galilee. Get away from this guy who is linked to Herod and live out what it is I intend for you. What would happen? What would happen if all of a sudden we began to hear from God and the only thing we heard were two words. Get up. Get up. I'll tell you what happened. After a while, we would hear distinctively that those words were saying something to us. So I want to challenge you with three things to think about as you think about the miracle of obedience. And I want you to think about them throughout this week. And even as we party tonight at our pastor's party, you think about these thoughts. First one is this. The person who is obedient, will listen carefully. They will hear what it is that God is trying to say to them. Which, by the way, the more you talk, the less you hear. So sometimes you just have to listen carefully. The second thing is this. As you live your life, walk wisely. On a path of obedience, walk wisely. Lord, that's what I want to have. And as you start walking wisely, something will begin to transpire inside of your heart and life because you'll start living obediently. And I'm going to tell you, when you learn how to listen, you learn how to let all these things become a part of your story, you start living obediently, what happens to you is you get to experience the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, watch this, is an inheritance of those who obey. And I'm going to tell you, for Joseph, as I said, we don't know a lot of his story, but what we do know is that he certainly made an impact. Because, no doubt, as Jesus was growing up, can you imagine the words that he probably heard more often in his heart and mind throughout his lifetime were, get up. And I'm going to tell you, as God's children, living in a chaotic day, in a confusing culture, in a world that seems to be upside down, sometimes you just have to get up. Get up and obey. Get up and experience what God intended for you. Because when you do that, you experience the miracle of obedience. So my question is simply to you is this. On this cold outside day, but warm in the Lord's house day, will you get up? Will you get up to what it is he has for you? Will you get up to what he wants to do through you? Will you get up to experience his best for you? If you will, God has something great in store for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing promises. Lord, we look at what happened with Saul. When Samuel said so clearly to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. Lord, the miracle of obedience is that we have the privilege of being able in our hearts and minds to accomplish and experience everything that you chose for our lives. We just have to obey. We just have to say, we want the best from you. For Joseph, he didn't have profound dreams that lasted hours. He had simple words that changed his life forever. And may we realize something. It's not how long the words are that we hear. It is the succinct impact of those words that changes our lives forever. Lord, we heard two words today over and over again, spoken long ago, but spoken again today. Get up. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.